Hello, dear friends of Community of Faith, dear family, I hope you're all doing all right. Before we start today with our praises, we would like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are watching us, all their fathers, the fathers that are not with us anymore, for those that have not their fathers anymore. To me, it has been a privilege to be a father. My father was a blessing in my life. And what I would like to do is to pray for all the fathers before we start with our service today. So please accompany me. Dear Father, you are the father of all of us, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for the fathers that you selected for us. We thank you for the blessing that we received through them. We want to truly honor all the fathers, those that are doing a special, are having a special struggle to be men of God for you and to help their children to grow under your light, your word. I ask you for all of them. I ask you for those that are struggling with that role, so you touch their hearts and give them light and help them to be the father that you designed them to be. We thank you for our fathers, for those that are still here with us, the ones that had the pain of having lost them. Please fill our hearts with your love. You are the father for the orphans, and you complement that hold that our fathers leave within us. Thank you for them, Lord. We ask you to continue blessing those who have children under their roof, and for those that have left the house, they are still an influence. So please help us to be the fathers you designed us to be. Thank you for being our Father. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now let's enjoy our praises. Okay, now let us start with our message. Last week, we started a study about the concepts of suffering and pain, and I told you that for me it was very important because it truly calls my attention that this young Christian man, whose father was a pastor, his father-in-law was a pastor, Jonathan Steingard, a singer of a Christian band, all of a sudden, publicly, he quit his faith. That shakes up especially young people in Christ. And that's why I would like to talk about this, because although I know he has many situations that are easy to explain, but the most complicated one is when he says, what I don't understand is that if we have a God of love, why is there suffering in the world? Why are there hurricanes? How can God allow those things? And the last phrase he says in his writing is, the truth is, I suspect that if God exists, I would rather that he existed, but I suspect that if he exists, he would be very different to the way he was taught to me. And that's the clue of all this matter. What kind of God you were taught, what kind of God the Bible has revealed to you, because depending on that, you're going to have certain expectations about God. And if he doesn't fulfill them, then you're going to think he doesn't exist. So we are trying to explain the most complicated aspect about God, about suffering and pain. Last week, we answered the question, why does God allow suffering and pain? We learned several things, which is a complement of the one we are going to see today. Although the Bible teaches us that at this time, even though we are in this side of the life, we cannot see very clearly, the Bible gives us enough light to be able to understand the things that we need to know why there is pain and what does God do through it. And the reason why there is pain and suffering is because we introduced it. God did not create a world with pain and suffering, but a world with the potential for pain and suffering, because we would have the right to choose to have a relationship with him. But at the end, we chose the wicked ways, and spiritual and moral, when we behave in a selfish manner, arrogant, and we cause pain and suffering to other persons. But we saw how God uses that pain. And although it is not something good, he uses it for us to approach him. Sometimes that's when we come close to him the most. Couldn't he found a method so we could come close to him without causing pain in us? And actually, yeah, there is. He's talking to you all along the Bible and to our ears, but we ignore him. So he uses the pain that we're caused to discipline ourselves, to mold our character. And at the end of the day, we're the ones that choose how we want to live this life. We can get mad, we can get bitter for the things that happen, or we can give ourselves to the search of God, pursuing him so he can be our strength. But the question that we're going to solve today is, how do we do it? Okay, we understand that pain was not created by him, but there is pain. So how can we live within the storms that cause pain, anxiety, stress? How do we live our everyday lives? We're going to learn the clue to live our everyday life in the midst of a storm. So let us pray to analyze this. Father, we thank you so much for your love. Once again, we thank you for that sacrifice that you gave in the cross for each one of us. Lord, we wouldn't have access to all these things if it were not for your grace. I know that these things are painful, especially when we are in the midst of troubles like the ones that we're going through, many of us. I ask you for peace, light, love to be present in this moment in our hearts so that we can receive the truth of your word without filters, that you help us to receive it and understand what you want to tell us through these things. We open our hearts to your hands. Please transform us and help us to grow and come closer to you. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, I am convinced that the enemy number one of being able to enjoy completely our today is to be thinking negatively about tomorrow. That is, what may happen today can paralyze you today and make your day miserable. Just think of all the different sins of your life. I think of my children. For example, from the oldest, Angie, what if the economy in the U.S. is worsening and Joshua loses his job? Then what will happen with Maya? What if she comes against God and rebellious? So you start thinking negatively and you get anguished about the present. Marco and Alex that lost their sight and they're just starting to come ahead. How will they learn to live without us if something happens to me? My daughter Katrina is about to get married. I hope her marriage is not as wonderful as we all hope. So you start worrying about tomorrow and you start to paralyze today. Same thing with my marriage. What may happen? How much longer can I have Karina thinking that I am a good person? So how can I do it so it works in the long run? My health this year, I'm going to be 60 years old. So I start thinking, what will go first, my mind or my body? Will I forget about the people around me? You start thinking negatively and it starts to suffocate you. The economy, the way things are, how long it will take to reactivate the economy. If you had a job and you lost it and you're thinking, when will I find a new one? What is if there's not a enterprise that wants to hire me? You start to freeze today. Do you realize it? To be thinking negatively in tomorrow may end up today. So we make one of two mistakes, and sometimes the two of them. One, we trust in our own ability to sustain life. Maybe many of us were totally trusting that we can do it, whatever it comes, I will sort it out. But things happen like this pandemic, and that security disappears quickly. And that trust that we have in ourselves is the mistake. And the other one is that we collapse by the excess of anxiety because we're thinking of what may happen. The two of them are a problem that may give us headaches, physical problems, relationship problems, all kinds of things. So we have to recognize that in this moment, we're living a very unusual moment, unprecedented in our generation with the matter of the pandemic. We're locked down because we're afraid of the virus. We're nervous for how the government is handling it. We're worrying about the economy, how it will reactivate. And I recognize that this is a situation particularly difficult. And to teach us what we have to do, I looked for a moment in the story of the people of Israel where they were in a more difficult situation, more complicated, where things were darker than what we are seeing right now. I will put it in a within a context. This happens during this siege of Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah comes to the scene with God telling him that he has to warn the people of Israel that they had to repent of the way they have been living life because they were worshiping the Baal gods. They stopped following God and they are burning incense to other gods. So God is about to take a drastic decision to make his people come to the right way. So Jeremiah starts telling the people of Israel for years, repent, repent, repent. And then what he tells them literally, from the north, there will come a huge army that will put things in their place. And in the year 587 before Christ, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he was mad because he had assigned a king to control Jerusalem for him. He changes his alliance to go with Egypt. So then Nebuchadnezzar goes and sieges Jerusalem. But you need to understand what this means because the siege of Jerusalem lasts approximately 18 months. Jerusalem was a walled city. They built walls to defend themselves from enemies. And within the walls, an amount of people lived. But out of the walls, a lot of other people lived. There were people that took care of the animals, the fields. So they lived in like small villages around there. And they came to Jerusalem to the festivals to sell their stuff. But then at nights, they got out. But when the warning comes that there's a huge army coming from the north, they do what they always did. They come all inside the city. They lock the doors, and Nebuchadnezzar comes with a huge army, surrounds the city, and starts to build an esplanade to be able to invade the city. So imagine, 18 months, these people come in with the food they have at the moment, animals, etc., but mainly grains, what they're harvesting, flour, they lock down, and now the city is overpopulated. They don't have space to live, all those that live there. So they surely made cottages. Some slept in the street. They start eating the food that they have, and they are at war all the time. And they start having problems every day. Surely, what happens is that they run out of fire before the food because they had to cook. After they come in with all that, they have to cook the animals, the grains, they have to make breads. So they start to burn all the wood that they have. And later, one of the prophecies that in the book of Jeremiah they had was that you're going to be cooking in the fire of human feces. So they had to use dry feces to be able to cook. But then they run out of food. They don't have a problem of water, but they start to die of hunger. Another prophecy is that there will be so many corpses that they will fall like flies and there will be nobody to pick them up. So imagine 18 months. But as a consequence of that siege, if you want to read about the siege of Jerusalem, go to 1 Kings, and in one verse, it says, so he sieged Israel, and in just one sentence. But if you read about the consequence of that siege in Jeremiah, he expresses the emotions that he feels during the time they are in that siege. And I'm not trying to depress you. I want to give us hope. Although the book of Lamentations is a very dark, very sad book. It is a beautiful poetry, but there's a passage that is powdered gold, and the clue of how we survive in the middle of a storm. So let me read the first two verses that show the thoughts of Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 19 and 20. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. So he is remembering the terrible situation that they lived during the siege. Remember my affliction. Maybe we may identify ourselves, but not much, because right now we're locked down in our houses because of the virus. But they were locked down because if they came out a bit, they were beheaded. Their liberty meant their life. Imagine, Jeremiah was warning them for years, and now they wake up with an army attacking them every day. So I remember my affliction and my wandering. It means the state of our heart when we feel in prison and we have no rest. The war was day and night. The soldiers were at the walls day and night because they didn't know what time the enemy would attack. There's no physical rest, no emotional rest, no spiritual rest. The soul is wandering all the time. I think we identify at least in the fact that when I used to go out to work every day to come to the church, to have meetings, to see people, I came back to my house with the idea that I'm going to rest. But if you are locked down all day, you cannot say, now I'm going to rest. Your mind doesn't let you rest. That's what he's saying, Jeremiah. I remember my wandering when I didn't have a resting place. I remember the bitterness and the gall. That means the amount of death he was seeing. Everyone that could lift a sword had to fight. Men, women, children. And he saw men, women, children dying. People eating the corpses of others. The madness, the angry. I don't know if you have had moments when the things go wrong and then worse and then it starts raining and you turn to look up and you say, hey, honestly? So it's not only the enemy, but everything else that is happening within here. So he says, certainly he remembers it and he's so downcast within him. He's in a total depression. In fact, the root of the name of the Book of Lamentations comes from the word in form of a question, how? The book is called How? How do I survive? How do I go on? But then all of a sudden, after it transmits us all this depression and negative emotion, something incredible comes. There is a sudden change that we have to see very clearly. It's four verses. Let's see. Verses 21 to 23. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For this, his compassions are never fail. They are new every morning. Jeremiah is first thinking the terrible emotions while he was during the siege, how he was feeling terribly. But then he remembers what made him come out of that state. Hey, wait, I need to remember something else. What? That the love of God never ends. And it is very important that we see this. In other versions, it says, they translate it differently. Because of his faithfulness, we have not been consumed. What I've told you many times, we can see the history of the people of Israel in the Old Testament as the walk or the way of a Christian person in his Christian way. And this is a way to translate it. All of a sudden, I had the revelation that by the mercy of God, we have not been consumed. God is doing something with this invasion. God is working with his people in such a way that they will come back to him. There will be joy for Israel. But the most important one, and it's the second thing he's remembering, he will sustain us every day. Day by day, his faithfulness comes. When we accept Christ, we receive all the grace that he will give us and what we need for the rest of our lives. So we think, with this, I am done. But in reality, that's not how God works. Many years ago, about 22 years ago, I was working as a consultor and I went to a hotel in Mexico City to give them a conference. To all the personal, motivational conference. And when they came out of the conference, they were so enthusiastic. And next month when I came back, I found people at the lobby. Oh, Mr. Monroe, it's so good that you are back here because our motivation, we ran out of it. So they thought that 1 hour of motivation a month was enough for the whole month. They didn't realize that motivation they needed every day. And that's what the Bible is telling us, what this passage is telling us about God's faithfulness. The Lord's great love is always, and his compassions never fail. Great is his faithfulness, and every morning his compassions are there. Every morning, great is his faithfulness. And that's the secret. How to live the life in God in the midst of storms? The secret is that you have to live one day at a time. Why? We were not created to manage the problems of tomorrow with the resources God gives us today. You were not designed to handle the things of tomorrow, only today's. He will not give you resources for tomorrow or for the next year. He promises to give you everything you need to work with it today. This is a problem that I don't know why we always forget, because it's a theme very recurrent in the Bible. We see it all the time in the Old and in the New Testament. In the New Testament, remember the manna when the people of Egypt is wandering for 40 years because they disobeyed. And the Lord gives them bread every day. He tells them the command, pick up only enough for today. Tomorrow you will pick up for tomorrow. But some stubborn ones picked up more, and the next day it was full of worms. Now, I will give you the resources for today. Another case is Elijah and the widow. Remember when he makes a prayer, and he says, it won't rain until I command it. And the king sends him to live with a widow in Sarepta. And he asks for water. Would you make me a bread? And she says, honestly, I was going to make a bread for my son and for me. I have just enough flour and oil for one bread. We would eat and then lie down to die. But Elijah says, the Lord will provide for you. And she obeys. And the next day, she has more flour and oil. Every day, she gets enough for one day. And that's what he tells us all the time. Jesus, in Luke 12, sends the 72. And he sends them in advance and tells them, do not bring money, another set of clothes, nothing. The one that will provide for you will be me. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus Christ said, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." So we should occupy ourselves of today and not to worry for tomorrow. But apparently, this is a concept that is very hard for us to assimilate. I don't know why, but people cannot see in terms of today. People always want to see in terms of for a long time. We see it a lot in marriages with problems. This is very typical. They cannot see today. They always want to see in the future. For example, it is very sad for me to realize that many persons in their marriages, they think they are okay. And when things start to go bad, they refuse to accept that things are going wrong. When they come to us for help, their problem is so serious that they have a problem to love each other. So they say, "I don't know if I will be able to love my wife or my husband again." And they don't understand that everything that God asks us to do is today. So husbands and wives, are you having problems to love your wife and you think you cannot do it? Just do it for today. Be a man of God. Just for today, love her. And I don't mean to say feel something for her. I mean, just for today, treat her with love. Do things for her for love. Carry her burden. Think of her. Think of her pain. Concentrate in being the man of God that he asked you to be. Oh, but you don't know my wife. But the Bible has no asterisks that says, with exemption with the crazy wives. No, there are no exemptions. Now, remember your marital vows. We promise to be with them in the good and in the bad times. That means not only when things are going all right and he's loving me and making me feel fine. No, all the time. Same way with wives. Is it very hard for you? Respect him and love him only today. And please do not think right away, well, he doesn't deserve it. The way that you behave towards your partner in your marriage has nothing to do with actions of your partner. It has to do with the promise that you gave to God. It should be an example of how God loves the heart of man unconditionally, although the man rejects him. So don't think of tomorrow or next week. Think of today. Today I'm going to be a man and a woman of God. Today, what about our children? Now, sometimes the parents come to me and tell me, "I don't know what to do." And what they see is years of growth of their children. I tell them, just today, just for today, pursue their hearts. Listen to him without judging him. Just for today, discipline him. Just today is all you have to do. Ask God for just today. Same thing happens with our temptations. Secret sins that people have towards alcohol, sex, sober, to be arrogant. When you receive the temptation, you should think only for today. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it." There's a window of time where you can resist if you turn to heaven and tell God, "Lord, just for today, give me the strength." If you resist, if you don't cede to temptation, next time it will be harder. But just for today, just for this moment, give me the strength. You have to train yourself so that in the times of temptation, you may endure it. And you have the promise. And what about your pain? That's what we're talking about. What about those pains that we feel in the heart for all these things that are making us suffer and that we cannot change? We need to depend in those moments, just for those moments, of His strength. Last week, we talked a bit about this. I told you, during these moments that are so painful, so dark, you need to place your mind in eternity, in the joy that we will have with God in eternity. And I told you, I'm not trying to minimize what is hurting you, but I can tell you, as the manager of animation that I told you from Cuba, that within 3 months he would be getting out of Cuba. The last 3 months he spent there, he continued in the same circumstances, but he lived them happily because he knew where he was going to end up. And you and I know where we are going to end up, but I don't know how long I'm going to live. But the Bible says that life is like very short, and you don't have to worry about it. If you thought about it, you're not thinking of just for today. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You have to place your mind in just for today. Give me the strength to endure this situation. I'm not telling you that there won't be nights of cry, that you end up so tired. But although you have those nights, His promises that His mercies are renewed every morning. This is how Jeremiah could live 18 months of the siege, and then he was exiled to Babylon. But the next verse tells us what Jeremiah made. Next, in verse 24, he says, "The Lord is all I have, and so in Him I put my hope, because I am conscious that all His compassions are renewed every day, He's faithful every day. So I realize that the only thing I have is Him, and in Him I will hope." And the prophet Isaiah remembers us in his book what happens in the heart of people that decide to say, "I will wait on the Lord." Isaiah 40, verses 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He will not grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." When you are to the limit of your strength, you go to Him. "Just for today, Lord." And you remember His compassions are eternal. His faithfulness never fails. He renews your strength. But you know what is the sad part? We forget about these things so quickly. The same things that happen to you happen to me. And it happens to me at times when I feel I am suffocating, and then I come back to Him. And last week, it happened to me again. I woke up in the middle of the night and I came to Him and I said, "Lord, You are my strength." And you know what He told me? "Go back to sleep. Tomorrow will be another day." And this reminded me of these passages of Lamentations. His mercies will be renewed tomorrow. One day at a time works in all aspects of our lives, because we try to grow, we don't see it, like we're children, we don't see the growth, and our spiritual growth, we don't see it, but you have to live one day at a time. Do your devotional today, not think of tomorrow's or next week or month or year. Just think of today. Read your Bible. Think a little about it. In your work, be a man of God, a woman of God. Just for today. Just for today. We're going to face summits, valleys. There will be nice things, ugly things, but we don't give up. Why? Deuteronomy 31:6 is a promise that you must keep in your heart. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never forsake you. He's always there. There are times when we are not searching God, and that's why we don't see him. But in the moment you go to him, Lord, I wait on you, Lord. Just give me the strength. He will be right there. The conclusion of everything we're seeing today is this. Life is hard, but God is good. Always. He is there. He will never leave you. But at the end of the day, we end up with the same conclusion as last week. How are you going to face life? It's optional. You may choose to bitter yourself, to get angry. And you know what is the saddest? You know, which is the person that affects that the most? Yourself. You think that if you are mad at somebody, you're making him pay or God. But it doesn't affect God. It affects you. You may choose that, or you may dedicate to search for God. Look for his grace and his support today. And although things do not work out the way we think, we have to say like Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Next week, we are going to talk more about these things that don't happen the way we want, and we will learn how to handle those. But in this moment, let us just stress on just for today, Lord. I want to be the man that you designed me to be, the woman, the daughter, the brother, the worker that you designed me to be just for today. I hope you can get today to your bed and rest in the promises of God, knowing that tomorrow will have its own problems, but will also bring its own blessings. His compassions, faithfulness renews every day, one day at a time. It's the only way. Let us finish praying and celebrating the Supper of the Lord. You and I have a special access to the Lord thanks to the sacrifice that Christ made in the cross. All the people that lived in the Old Testament, they had the promise that one day a Savior would come to free them. And they confused. They thought that it would be a physical liberation. The Romans, the enemies they had around them. Few prophets that around God had the trust. Few persons, like the prophets, knew about the true meaning. But you and I are on this side of the cross. You and I know about the promise, and we've seen it, and we have received it, and we have access to him, and we can feel his presence. We can receive his guidance straight to us. We can come to him and tell him personally, Christ died for me. So just for today, I will do this. So let us celebrate the Supper of the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for that love that is not understandable for many of us. Your love never ends. You give us new strengths every day. Sadly, those are things that we forget very often. We ask you that through your Holy Spirit, you remind us every day about the sacrifice that Christ made in the cross, because that's what gave us access to be within your heart, and that you may live in our hearts. And we want to thank you for the love that you showed us through him. If you have your elements, we thank you because he gave his body for us. While we eat this bread, and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, while we drink this juice, and we want to place ourselves in your hands. please accompany us every moment of the day for the rest of our life, and remind us that all we need to do is to use the grace that you give us today to live today and tomorrow. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you. We thank you all these things. Amen. Normally, we would give you, we would pick up the tithes, but now we have down there, you can read the information of our accounts if you want to deposit your tithes over there.